This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You might know our next guest from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, or as Wiggy brought up earlier, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, or the film that Courtney says is one of the top all five films of all time. What is that one?
Bring It On.
Bring It On.
Yep, Missy, great character.
The actress, and I would say activist, Eliza Dushku joins us right now. Good morning. Hello.
Hi. Good morning, everyone.
Are you shrooming right now?
Thank you, Courtney.
Are you shrooming at this moment?
No, not at this moment, but preparing to get pretty fired up for election, which is a week away, and hoping people can join me in saying yes on 4 to allow others to have therapeutic access to psilocybin and its healing greatness.
Yeah, so we had a lively discussion about this during the 6 o'clock hour, but question 4, would legalize and regulate some psychedelic drugs here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, you would have to be over 21 to grow and to use them. And I was reading about your experience, and when it came to what is a huge issue in this country now, Curtis, we talk about it a lot on the show, those who are struggling when it comes to mental health, this was very, very helpful for you, Eliza.
Yes, it absolutely was. And, this was about 6 years ago in my case, and I was in a really bad way, and I had tried kind of the conventional methods of, and recommendations from my doctors and therapists and teams from EMDR treatment is one widely known trauma treatment, different pharmaceuticals. I was in deep trauma therapy, and someone actually who had a background in addiction and recovery that I trusted recommended this. And I think that's one misconception people have, is that the psychedelics would not be efficient in addiction and recovery, but so much addiction is trauma informed. And so they're actually very effective for those struggling with substance abuse. And they were transformational for me.
Eliza, wouldn't this also be helpful when it comes to regulating something, using shrooms as an example, whereas right now, if somebody wants to get it, they don't know how much they're consuming or where they're getting it from or where it's coming from. If it's legal and people are going to a shop to get it, you would know how much you're ingesting every time.
Absolutely. I mean, the reality is that this bill is about harm reduction, and it's about bringing these medicines kind of out from being in the shadows. You know, people are already using them. People are aware of how effective they are and the breakthrough capacity that they have in medicine and in improving mental health. And so now it's time for us as a state to say we're not going to hide these anymore and keep people, as you said, if they're going to take these, we don't want them being afraid to contact their doctor or let their doctor know how they're working with them, or if they were need to, you know, to seek help and from an emergency room. You don't want people afraid to go in because they'll be arrested because they're trying to improve their mental health. It doesn't make sense. And so absolutely this would bring them out of the shadows. And look, there's the therapeutic regulated use piece that we are so behind. And then some people have been caught up on the decriminalization and the personal use piece. But the reality is you can't decriminalize these medicines without allowing people to grow their own personal amount. They cannot sell them. They cannot barter or trade them. That would still be federally illegal. But if you're going to say that they're decriminalized and we're going to start using them therapeutically, where are people going to get their substance if they can't grow their own? And that's what pushes people to the black market. If you don't have that piece where they can procure their own substances, then it actually is much more dangerous. The American Medical Association agrees that psychedelics should be decriminalized as a matter of public health.
Eliza, as somebody who smokes weed and always hears from people who are like, hey, it's a gateway drug, like that's their only excuse to why they didn't want to legalize it initially, but luckily they did. Is that like the same thing that you get when you bring up mushrooms is that people always go to, it's a gateway drug and it's going to lead you to, you know, booting up heroin.
Yeah, I hear you on that. And that, you know, I remember hearing that often back in the marijuana time as well. And I'd say with this, it's almost even worse in that we're just stuck in so much stigma from the 70s and 80s. You know, people still classify psychedelics and they think of the hippies and, you know, old stories of people jumping out windows. And that's just, that's been debunked. The reality is if this is used in a safe and therapeutic way, it is so safe and it is so therapeutic and so healing, and they're not addictive. That's another, you know, I don't know as much about marijuana, but some people I think find they can be addicted to marijuana. People don't tend to do a mushroom session and then want to do it the next day and the next day. They're really powerful sessions. So there's really no addiction associated with these medicines. And I think it's just about, you know, educating the public that these are molecules that have been used for hundreds, if not thousands of years, for mental health and for healing. And it's time to kind of, it's time to educate people. And that's why I'm speaking out. They can be so helpful to us. And the reality is, as someone said at the beginning, we are in a mental health crisis. And it's great that we've identified that as a people, as a nation. But now we need to start doing something. There have been no real treatments in the last 20 to 25 years for people suffering with PTSD, with trauma, with treatment-resistant depression and anxiety. I'm now working as a clinical mental health intern with veterans and military service members. These people deserve more. You know, they put their lives on the line to go out and fight for this country, and coming home shouldn't be the scariest, worst part. The suicide rates of veterans are on the low end, about 20 per day. And that to me is just, it's a disgrace that we wouldn't offer them the option of psychedelic-assisted therapy. This is called the Massachusetts Ballot for Mental Health Options. So it's not for everybody, but let's give them the option. We owe them that much, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, well, I wanted to ask about getting clarity when you're having a session. Did you ever go back and say, all right, I got clarity. This is a film that I would not have done. were there any movies that you regret doing?
I don't need mushrooms for that, my friend. Let me tell you.
All right. Don't say True Lies, because True Lies is one of the all-time great films, I think.
No, but in all honesty, I will say in my first session that was so powerful and helpful for me that I described in this month's Boston Magazine, there was, once I sort of went through the really deep healing phase of the treatment, I did have a very strong kind of message or understanding from sort of, they talk about, we all have this innate inner intelligence, this inner healer, this kind of higher self inside of us. And we get conditioned in our lives to kind of, you know, believe different things or adapt to what society, we think society wants from us. And when you take these psychedelic medicines, it's like that kind of blood like dissolves away, and you get many people get a very clear connection and insight. And in that place for me, it was very loud and clear that I was not going to continue doing what I was doing as an actor. While I have, you know, gratitude and respect for all the people I was able to work with, it was very clear to me that my purpose from that point on was going to be to help other people with this treatment, because we all live under a mask. We all live under, you know, we all have our baggage and the trauma and the things that we carry. And this works. And so I knew it would be my mission to bring this to others.
Eliza, very interesting. Thank you for sharing your perspective. And the vote is Tuesday. Seems like the Commonwealth is split right down the middle, so we will see what happens when it comes to question four.
Thank you. Yeah, I would say it's split, but it's also, I think there are many in favor. And the reality is, you know, psilocybin and some other organic natural substances have been decriminalized in eight different cities in Massachusetts for the last 2 to 3 years, including Cambridge, Somerville, Salem, Northampton. There's been no uptick in people driving around, you know, tripping on magic mushrooms, and no uptick in emergency room visits. The reason I wanted to speak out, frankly, is I think there's a lot of fear mongering going on. And I understand, you know, people, these are serious medications, in the same way we would want to wrap them in safety, that we would want to, you know, lock up our OxyContin and if we're taking those for medicine or for pain, or lock up other potentially harmful substances. We want to see these wrapped in safety, but we have to bring them out. We can't, if this bill passes, this would go to the legislature for 2 years. There's a 2-year rulemaking process that would be run by a commission of doctors, best in Massachusetts, best in the world, and a rulemaking process, and then they could change the bill. They could take certain medication, certain substances out. They could change the amount of space that people could have in their homes to grow them in. That came from the Colorado measure. But don't kill the bill. Let's improve it and trust our legislature. Trust, you know, Maura Healey and our attorney general that they're going to make this, they're going to get this right. Massachusetts has been leading the way for 200 years. We developed so many innovative breakthrough treatments here, and it's time for this to be the next one.
All right, Eliza, thank you.
Got my vote.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate you guys, and hopefully I can we can find each other sometime and talk about, you know, Bring It On and Kevin Smith.
I say when it's legal that we, you know, we do a little microdosing.
Shroom potty. Yep.
And then talk about it.
Not the first time Greg said that
like
to
that.
A girl.
And then talk about it. Yes. All right, Eliza.
Thank you guys for having me on. I got to run to class. Be well.
All right. Okay.
She's so sweet.
That'd be cool.
Is.
A shroom potty?
I just, people are, like, I don't get, like, you see some people who are like, wow, why are you talking, like, why are you talking about this? This is a paid commercial. Like, the woman is trying to do something that she thinks is going to be beneficial for others.
And you said we were going to debate these topics that everyone's talking about.
It's fine to disagree. Like, she's not out of her... She's not, you know, off her rocker. She has had an incredible experience when it comes to her recovery from her trauma. And so...
I know when my back starts acting up, blaze a couple tokes, feel a lot better.
And not for nothing, but if you microdose or if Wiggy smokes pot, how does it hurt you?
Don't.
It doesn't. Like, if somebody is free to do something in their own home at a shop where it's, you know, legal, how does that impact your life? Why are people so obsessed with deciding for others what they should do?
It's weird.
Who cares?
It's weird.
It's like Nima Chick on the roof deck with the chicken. Like, Greg can eat chicken. You can choose not to, you know. And if you want to have a vegan burger, go nuts. Why do you have to yell at me? It's like that scene in Curb where Larry David's like, he compared religion to lobster. He's like, everybody must eat lobster. Who cares? Do whatever you want. Live your life. Don't listen. Listen. The show is on a station. There's many options out there.
Right. And CD for me, when are you going to have the other side on? Well, you seem to be opposed, so sack up and call the show.
Sure. Have anybody on.
Yeah.
Oh, because I'd like to, you know, explain to me what's the bad part of it. Other than going with the low-hanging fruit that...
Slippery slope.
Yeah, other than that, explain to me what would be bad for somebody to
be taking
shrooms.
You'd have to have somebody
shrooms.
Call who, you know, went on a bad trip or something.
Well, because it would also be a revenue generator for the state, right? Which
correct.
Is a good thing for all of us, correct, I believe?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, well, that's what we're waiting for the feds to
that
do with weed.
That means more bike lanes.
Oh, right, of course. My apologies.
Right.
Like where would you guess the millions and millions of dollars that has been generated from those who are wagering legally, like Courtney, has gone?
Your neighbors.
The electric buses that are coming?
It's gone to the neighbors?
Yep.
A lot
Which
of
is
money.
Also crazy. Like, a lot of the people that are outraged about legalizing microdosing are perfectly happy paying for people to live here in perpetuity.
And it would create more jobs.
Right.
Like, I guess I don't understand why it's...
$600 million last month alone in sports betting to the state.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I've always asked the question, like...
Courtney's going to make that on her next parlay.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I always ask, is somebody who's like, you know, who blazes the kush and people are like, oh, you know, I always... There's no... The other than... Like, I've never seen anybody, or I don't know anybody, I've never had to go to the hospital because I've had weed poisoning.
Can you just imagine for a moment Courtney shroomed out trying to lock a 15-leg parlay?
Oh, that'd be pretty funny.
It would be like everything would be merging together.
It would just coalesce.
It would be like a 63-leg parlay.
Well, you almost hit that one last night. Don't give up. I hope you're
I'm not going to give up.
No,
because
go right back at
because
it.
Because last night, it really, I get the hype. Like, it was a euphoric feeling every time something hit.
You just missed on the anytime touchdown. That's it, right?
From Pickens, who had two that were called back.
Yeah.
And I mean, I didn't hit on Russell Wilson over 1.5 because those two got called back as well.
Yeah, they were correlated. You would have been
Yes. Yeah.
But see how close you were to hitting the parlay. Like, it is a possible and real thing.
Okay, so Wiggy, when you get a scratch ticket today, right, and you have number 10 and you scratch number 9 and it was for $1 million, you're not really close. They do that to make it seem like you were close.
Here's the difference. With a scratch ticket, I don't have any control, or not control, or insight to potentially which box to scratch, which box not to scratch. Where in a parlay, like, you have insight on who you could potentially think that's going to win the game.
Right.
Right? You have insight on who might, you know, throw two touchdowns. If Russell Wilson has been throwing two touchdowns for the past 4 weeks and they like to throw the ball, like, you have that insight. With the lottery, you don't have none of that, you know, insight on to help you make the right pick or scratch the right number to win money, where you have that ability.
But the thing is, if you eat a couple shroom Rolos, then you don't care. Win or lose, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Right.
Amen.
Have you told that story on the show, Greg?
Should I?
It's an all-timer.
I don't think that this is a good one.
I would not include names.
Okay.
But it is epic.
All right, maybe I'll tell that when we come back.
It's funny when people are like, Courtney, Greg, and we have no idea what they're talking about. It's like, I think Greg and I specified that we indeed do know what we're talking about when this one.
Yeah, I have no clue. I've never shroomed, so.
Yeah. All right, maybe I'll tell that before we go.
That would be great. It is an all-timer.
That's
a cautionary tale about legalizing shrooms.
Will shrooming be like when I had the edible cookies and I ended up at the wrong airport? You freaked out?
There's two in Houston. It's confusing.
If you took too much.
Right. Is that what it would be like?
But everybody's reasons why we shouldn't have shrooms would be even better allocated as to why you shouldn't have alcohol.
Well, that's what somebody said. Curtis, what about when these people are abusing them and then they're driving? Okay. That's affecting me.
Well, let me explain my life in very simple terms. I cannot consume alcohol safely, so I choose not to. You can, Greg, and I do want to do nothing to prevent you, Courtney, Wiggy, and Shime from having a nice evening. Because I struggle with something, it doesn't mean you should have to change your life.
Right.
That's the way I view America. So because people could abuse something, that would be a reason to do nothing. Why should anybody get a license? There will be people that speed and drive erratically.
Yeah, well, I think the same people that might be inclined to sadly operate a vehicle while intoxicated would do it on any substance, whether it's alcohol or
we've all abused alcohol before. Like, how many times have we all got so drunk that we've thrown up on ourselves, thrown up in the middle of the street?
I mean, ever been to a road show?
Right.
I had to get hosed off in my front lawn.
So, I mean,
yeah, it was last weekend.
We got to take a break. We will be right back.